ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमाम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यास ततो जयामुदीरहे नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमाश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्टिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः।
श्रीमद् भागवतम चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट 6 वी आर टेकिंग द थर्ड पार्ट ऑफ द पपॉट सो वी विल अगेन रीड द वर्ड्स। त्वं तु सर्वं प्रतिज्ञाय स्नेहं स्वजन बंधुषु मया अवेश्य मनः सम्यक् समद्रेक् विचश्रव गाम। त्वं तु सर्वं परित्यज्य स्नेहं स्वजन बंधुषु मय अवेश्य मनः सम्यक् समद्रेक् विचश्रव गाम। त्वं तु सर्वं परित्यज्य स्नेहं स्वजन बंधुषु मय अवेश्य मनः सम्यक् समद्रिग् विचश्रवगम्। त्वं तु सर्वं परित्यज्य स्नेहं स्वजन बंधुषु मय अवेश्य मनः सम्यक् समद्रिग् विचश्रवस्य घाम। त्वं यू तू इन फैक्ट सर्वं
all, parityajya, giving up, sneham, affection, swajana bandushu, for your relatives and friends, mayi, in me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, aveshya, fixing, manaha, your mind, samyak, completely, samadrik, seeing everything with equal vision, vichashravaha, wander, gham, throughout the earth. Translation: now you should completely give up all attachment to your personal friends and relatives and fix your mind on me. Thus, being always conscious of me, you should observe all things with equal vision and wander throughout the earth. Purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. The third part of the purport, since it was a very large purport, it was divided into three. This is the third and the last part. The sincere servants of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are vigorously endeavoring to spread this Krishna consciousness movement for the pleasure of their spiritual master and Lord Krishna. At the present time, thousands of devotees in Krishna consciousness movement in all parts of the world are working long hours under difficult conditions to distribute transcendental literature and thus enlighten the general populace. In this effort, the devotees have no personal motivation but are simply desirous of pleasing their spiritual master by distributing his books. The people who receive this literature usually have no previous experience of Krishna consciousness, yet they are so impressed by the purity of the devotees, they meet them eagerly, purchase the books and magazines. In order to execute the tremendous task of spreading Krishna consciousness, the devotees are tirelessly laboring day and night because they are on the platform of loving devotion. Although superficially such busy devotees may occasionally not think directly of the lotus feet of Krishna, such loving devotion will undoubtedly take them back to Krishna's lotus feet. And being pleased by their service, the Lord Himself will again arouse in their unflinching meditation upon His personal form. This is the beauty of Bhakti Yoga, which depends wholly and solely on the mercy of the all-merciful personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. This is the only totally safe means of uprooting the deep desires of material enjoyment, attaining pure love of Krishna, and going beyond the material universe to the kingdom of God. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita 2.40, Neha Bikrama Nasosti Pratyavayo Na Vidyate Svalpam Api Yasya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. Lord Krishna also advised Uddhava in this verse to give up the illusory attachment to so-called friends and family within this material world. One may not be able to physically give up association of family and friends, but one should understand that everyone and everything is part and parcel of God and is meant for the pleasure of God. As soon as one thinks, this is my personal family, immediately one will see the material world as no more than a place of enjoying family life. As soon as one is attached to one's so-called family, false prestige and material possessiveness arises. Actually, everyone is part and parcel of God and therefore on the spiritual platform related to all other entities. This is called Krishna Sambandha, or the constitutional relationship with Krishna. It is not possible to advance in the highest stage of spiritual awareness at the same time maintain a petty material concept of society, friendship and love. One should experience all the relationship on the higher spiritual platform of Krishna Sambandha, which means seeing everything in relation to Lord Krishna, the personality of Godhead. One who is situated in his constitutional relationship with Krishna can see all things in relation to Krishna. He thus gives up the mundane urges of the body, mind and speech and travels throughout the earth as a devotee of the Lord. Such a highly elevated personality is called Goswami or the master of the senses. This stage is described in the Bhagavad Gita 18.54 by the words Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. On the spiritual platform, one attains complete satisfaction. Om Gyan Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Nam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namine Gauratvishe Namaha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, it's a wonderful occasion again to have the chance to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam, and that too a very, very special, wonderful discussion. Of course, in Bhagavatam, everything is special. Every word is special. Bhagavatam is basically a scripture which is discussions between some very, very special personalities. We have been students of the Bhagavatam, going through all the 10 cantos. We have reached the 11th canto. Very interesting. It's been a long journey for those who have been hearing from the first canto of Bhagavatam. Madan Gopalpur, when was it we started the first canto? 96. So it's been almost close to more than 20 years. This whole journey is going on, and now, sorry? Little before. Yeah. So I think it is a wonderful journey, to be a student of Bhagavatam and going through all the wonderful discussions. And here, we are having a very interesting discussion about between Lord Krishna and Uddhava. As we all understand that, while Arjun is very, very dear to Krishna, Krishna spoke the Gita to him because he said, because you're my very dear friend, Krishna says. I give this knowledge because you're my dear friend. And Arjun was such a dear friend that we know the episode where Arjuna took that vow that I will kill Ashwatthama. No, not Ashwatthama. I will kill Jayadrath. And if I don't kill him tomorrow till sunrise, then I will enter into fire. And if you read the Mahabharata, Arjuna takes this vow, then he goes to sleep because he has to be ready for the next day's war. But there are practically the big book that we have, close to 20 pages, if not more. I was reading, I remember. 20 pages describing the condition of Krishna when Krishna was in his room that night. And there's only one line, Arjuna went to sleep after taking that vow. But what was Krishna going through? He was tossing and turning and tossing and turning. He couldn't sleep. He was so much in anxiety. And it's described pages and pages of Krishna thinking that what will be the world without the presence of Arjuna on this world? And that this world will be completely jury void. Krishna is telling, and we say that, you know, this whole world is a jury void without Krishna. But Krishna has to recite something also, right? What is void for him? And without devotees, the whole world is void for Krishna. And he is, if you read, it's very interesting how Krishna is describing. It will be unlivable, unthinkable to really see this earth not having the presence of Arjuna. And he was so anxious. He was so much in trouble, so much in agony, that late night, in almost, you know, right early morning, it could be, he called for Daruka. He said, "Daruka, come." And at, you know, maybe it is midnight, late, much. And he said, "Daruka, keep my chariot ready. Keep my saranga bow ready and keep all my weapons ready." He said, "And how come? You are taking a vow?" I said, "No." I said, "If Arjuna not is able to kill Jayadra, then I will kill him. And when I shout, just come and get my..." So, I mean, of course, it's a beautiful, beautiful discussion. And then really it is heart melting. So that's why we said that Krishna never becomes anxious, you know, because Krishna is always is a source of happiness. How can the source of happiness become anxious? But Krishna does become anxious. When the Lord becomes anxious, when the devotee is in trouble, Krishna went to tremendous anxiety. And similarly here, so this is the love that Krishna has for Arjuna. Arjuna was his very dear friend in Hastinapur. And Krishna's another very, very special friend, as we understand, is Uddhav. Uddhav is very close friend, associate, relative from Dwarka. And this chapter is the beginning, and this beautiful, I think yesterday's purport was so beautiful. I'm sure those who have been here, you know, it was describing, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining the mind of Krishna. So interesting, the acharyas are such empowered. I mean, can you imagine how fortunate we are to really have access to knowing what is there in Krishna's mind, and that to not a concoction, but directly from the acharyas who know what is there in Krishna's mind, because they understand Krishna's mind, because they are in Krishna's mind. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining that Krishna is, you know, if you read, I mean, it's a big, beautiful purport, the second part of this beautiful purport. He explained that I've achieved so many things. And Krishna is saying, I've done this, and he's going through this whole life. Krishna is thinking in his mind that I've killed all the demons, I've established dharma, I killed this demon, I killed that demon, I spoke the Gita, I delivered all the various saints. And now Krishna is sort of, as we said, going down the memory lanes, right? We use this phrase, going down the memory lanes. As we think, oh, we have done this. There's so many Prabhupada disciples, they speak about Prabhupada's pastimes. And they go down the memory lanes. That how, oh, this happened in 1966, this happened in 1968. And so sweet for them to reminisce the wonderful pastimes that happened. So Krishna is himself thinking about his pastimes. And unfortunately, Krishna has nothing else to think. I mean, I hope you take in the right spirit. Krishna has to think about his own pastimes. We have to think about Krishna's pastimes. I remember one of the lectures, you know, one of the senior devotees of Prabhupada was speaking that we all are so fortunate that we can meditate upon Krishna. But what does Krishna do? He was talking about when Krishna gets up in Dwarka, what does he do as a grihastha? He sits, he does his morning duties, and he sits and meditates upon himself. Because who else is there for him to meditate upon? So we are fortunate that Krishna is reminiscing, and he's saying that I have achieved everything, but he's saying, now that I'm about to depart, you know, this is the pastime where the Yadus are going to depart from Prabhash. So Krishna is saying, now he's depart, but there's something which is still remaining. And there are couple of saints, and he was mentioned, and he's explaining the purport that he was thinking about the Narayan Rishi in Badrik Ashram. I said, they need to be given more understanding, more knowledge, more realizations. I said, Uddhav is the right person for that. I said, Uddhav is the right person, and he, because he knew the qualification of Uddhav. Right? So he is telling Uddhav that this place, the previous two verses, Krishna's is showing his love for Uddhav, and through Uddhav, he is showing his love for all of us. Because Krishna never does things just one way. He does something, and it is because Krishna is Jagat Guru. Krishna is the father, the spiritual master of everyone. When Krishna speaks to one person, it is not that he is speaking only to that person. We all know that. He is speaking to everybody. So the interesting verse in this is that the verse, the translation begins, now you should completely give up. Now why is this word now written? He is telling Uddhav, now. It's very interesting that word, nothing in Bhagavatam is just, it happens to be there. No, it is not just it happens to be there. It's not that it's just there. Krishna says, now you should give up. Why is this now? Because Krishna is saying that, he is explaining in the previous verses that I won't be there at all more in the material world. And Uddhav, you should also not be here more. Because this is a crazy place. And Krishna is describing the Kali Yuga, which is not a place, as explained by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is not a place for a gentleman or a gentlewoman to live. It's a crazy place. So Krishna is saying it is not a good place for you to live. Number one, you should also very soon come. But before you come, you have a very important confidential mission that I am giving you. And for that mission, Krishna says, now you should completely give up all your attachments of your personal friends and relatives and be and fix your mind upon me. He said, and for in order to achieve that confidential mission which I am going to give you, you should be doing this. And what is the mission? The mission of preaching. The mission of giving knowledge to others. He said, now you are ready, you have got all knowledge, you have got all the understanding, but now you should give to others. Janma sarthaka kori kar paropkar. Even Krishna so wonderfully is showing by his example and by his talks. And please understand, these are the last few instructions of Krishna. We all understand that of course Krishna, whatever instruction he gives is all important. But especially we know when a person is giving his final instruction, we repeat so many times, what was Srila Prabhupada's final instructions? If you want to show your love for me, show me by how you cooperate. Right? And how often we stress that, because that was Prabhupada's one of the final instructions. Final things that he spoke. And we understand that, well, this was his very, very important desire. Because he's speaking in is about to leave. And maybe just few days before that he's speaking this. I don't even know when was this spoken, but maybe few days or maybe on that same day. I'm not really sure about that. But we do say that this is Prabhupada's very, very important final instructions. So Krishna is giving his final instructions to Uddhav before he departs from Prabhash. And through Uddhav, he's telling all of us. And all of us specifically who are devotees of Krishna. Uddhav is a devotee of Krishna. He said, now that you have really practiced sadhana, you have really been a wonderful devotee, now you should spread this mission to others. And is that not the mission of our Krishna Consciousness Society? Is that not a mission of all of us? Is that not what Prabhupada told all of us to do? Right? Is that not what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told all of us to do? So is this mission that Krishna is telling Uddhav only meant for Uddhav, or it is meant for all of us also? So if we extrapolate this understanding that this instruction of Krishna to Uddhav is not only meant for Uddhav, and what is the instruction? As I repeat again, the instruction is to give this knowledge to others. Krishna said, I couldn't give it to many people, now you give it to on my behalf. Right? That's what the purpose is, Vishwanatha Thakur explains. So there are so many people in this world who are not fortunate of receiving this instruction, and Krishna's desire, Mahaprabhu's desire, Srila Prabhupada's desire is that we who are now devotees of Krishna, give that message, give that knowledge, give that understanding, give that lifestyle to others. And in order to do that, the word uses now, because it is to be done now. And what is to be done now, from now on? If we are doing it, it is very good, continue doing it. If you are not doing it, remember what to do. And what is that? Give up all attachments to your personal friends and relatives and fix your mind on me. That is the instruction Krishna is telling us. If we need to be pracharaks, if we need to be missionaries of Srila Prabhupada's mission, this is what is required to be done. To give up all attachments to friends. Now, you know, I was just reading this purport, and a very young friend in a school, I was talking to him, and I was seeing this purport. He was with me. And I said, okay, nice devotee boy. I said, I told him to read this translation. And I was wanting some understanding. Said, how does he see this translation? I said, so my dear friend, what do you feel? What is Krishna trying to tell us here? So he read the purport. He said, Prabhu, I'll tell you. Now you should completely give up all attachments to your personal friends. Prabhu, Krishna is telling us not to use Facebook. I said, wonderful, to apply the knowledge at the which is relevant. and I thought deep inside. And I said, obviously in the Bhagavatam or the Bhagavad Gita, we will never have mention of all these unfortunate things. But we have to learn. And this was a young boy in 8th standard. Okay? And you know, it was a very innocent heart of his. He was not trying to be a pracharak. He was not trying to be showing off. I said, what do you feel? And he said, spontaneously came, Prabhu, Krishna is telling us not to use social media, not to use Facebook. Because he's telling us not to be attached to friends. And in Facebook, we keep on making friends. he's my friend. Very interesting, actually, what he said. Because the whole material energy is out to really make us more and more and more attached. Krishna bhuliya jiva bhogavancha kare nikatiya mayastane jhopatiya dhore. That Krishna bhuliya jiva, and that is the whole purpose of the material energy. Krishna bhuliya jiva. And that he is anyway forgetting Krishna, because you know he is in the material world. The whole material energy is just focused on. And more and more and more, there are powerful, powerful instruments in the hands of Maya to make us more and more forget Krishna. And Krishna says, if you want to be my devotee, if you want to be my preacher, then first you have to give up attachments, you know, to your friends, and focus your mind on me. And anything. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made things so easy, actually, that things favorable for Krishna consciousness should be accepted and things unfavorable should be rejected. It is such a broad spectrum instruction. You can apply it so wonderfully. There's no ambiguity in this instruction. It's very clear, crystal clear. Things that are favorable should be accepted and things that are unfavorable should be rejected. So it is explained in this beautiful purport, there are the four things that are required to be done. This verse. First is to give up personal attachment to friends and relatives. Second is to fix the mind on Krishna. The third thing is to observe all things with equal vision, Krishna is saying. What is the word used? Samyak. Samyak, right? No, Samyak is giving up. Samadrik. Samadrik. Samadrik means to see with equal vision. And wander throughout the earth. These four things Krishna is telling. Very interesting instruction. Similar to Bhagavad Gita. First is to give up personal attachment to friends and relatives. Second is to fix a mind on Krishna. Third is to observe all things with equal vision. And fourth is to wander throughout the world. Wander, not doing anything but to preach. And so this is, this is the what the purport is talking about. And his purport is how wonderfully, for hours and hours, the purport explains how devotees are engaged in intense devotional service. The purport describes what we read is the activities of devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement in our society and how it is explained how they are doing wonderful things. But as students of Bhagavatam, rather than thinking that how they are engaged in on day in and day out toiling, working hard to spread the mission, I felt we should take it as if not that they are, but they should. Then it will be very interesting for us, more relevant. If we just say, oh, they are, we say, oh, they are doing so many things. And you know, what do we really learn from it? They are doing, very good, they are doing. But if we take this purport as if that they should be engaged in doing intense devotional service, laboring day and night, that is what we should do. If you remember the purport, that is what the purport says. The devotees are engaged, in day in and day out, laboriously working for Krishna. And the very, very interesting part of this purport is that this is the beauty. Yeah, it is explained here. This is the beauty of bhakti yoga, which depends wholly and solely on the mercy of the all merciful personality of Godhead. This is a very, very interesting line of the purport. This is the beauty of bhakti yoga. And what is the beauty of bhakti yoga? That it depends wholly, that means completely, and solely, that means no, then nothing else. Solely means only one. And wholly means completely. Very interesting use of words. The whole bhakti process is wholly, that means completely, the whole process is depending upon what? One, soul, solely depend upon Krishna. That means the whole thing is depend upon one thing. Wholly and solely depend upon the mercy of Krishna. And very interesting word is used, the mercy of Krishna, who is also all merciful. Many times there are many things dependent upon many people in this material world. We depend on the mercy of the people. Oh, only if he is merciful he will do this. But are those people all merciful? No. There's only one person who is all merciful, that is Krishna. Can you imagine the bhakti yoga is dependent upon the all merciful personality of Krishna? So the aspect of mercy is very, very interesting. Tell me honestly, when, you know, before we all became devotees, or rather for those who are interacting with people who are not yet fortunate to be, part of the being devotees of the Lord, how many times in their communications or in their language do they use this word mercy? Has anyone used, in the best of corporate talks, have you ever heard the word mercy in any of these talks? Anybody? If those who are working in corporates, does your manager say, or your person says, I am dependent upon the mercy of my manager? I mean, can you tell, this mercy word is never used. It's not there in our, it's not a word used at all. Why? If we analyze it, I was thinking about it. Why people don't use the word mercy? Because this world, we could many reasons, but you know, I could think of at least two. First is, it is very difficult to understand the word mercy, because with the whole mentality of this world is revenge. That I will get him or her. If somebody is not doing something rightly, when does one require mercy? Let's be very clear. We require mercy when something is not done properly, or you don't deserve something and you still have to get it. Then the only way you can get something which you don't deserve, you're not worked hard, is when that somebody is merciful, right? A beggar comes and he knows that he doesn't deserve. Because what is he doing for you? Nothing. But still he's saying, paisa, 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 bakshish, give me some Lakshmi. Why? Because he knows that the only way he can get money is if you are merciful. So all he's trying to do is invoke your merciful nature. And the way he or she does it is through different gestures, different words. Book like I have paisa nahi hai, all different things. Oh, if you feel bad, they beat their chest or they beat their stomach or whatever they do, just so that they can invoke your mercy. Because they know it, that, you know, I'm not doing anything for these people. I'm just sitting on the side of a street, not doing anything. So I don't deserve anything. The only way I can get something, and I desperately need that, where I need some money to survive, and the only way I can get it is if these people are merciful. And all I can do is just invoke their mercy. But the whole world is talking about revenge. There's no question of mercy. If you've not done something right, if you've done something wrong, I will take my revenge. Or the other side is, there is something what is called mundane righteousness, I thought. Mundane righteousness, that okay, if he gets what he deserves and not a penny more or not a penny less. Because I'm a righteous person. Whoever he is, I don't care. He will get what he deserves. Sort of equality in society, we talk about equality. Secularism. Everything is secular, is equal. These are all very, very nice words to use in governance. But not useful. Right? So because the whole world is filled with mundane equality, mundane righteousness, the concept of mercy is gone. The world is filled with communist understanding, socialist understanding, capitalistic understanding, and there is absolutely no understanding of the word mercy. Because mercy does not exist in either capitalism, socialism, or any of these things, any of these isms. It doesn't exist. But it is capitalism is hard-heartedness. I make money at any cost. Socialism is being equal. He gets what he wants. Everybody gets equal. Whoever he is, he gets equal. There is no question of mercy. The problem with all these isms is, there is no gradient. Now you will say, what is this gradient? Because mercy as a word is liquid. When we say mercy, what? We say mercy flows. You don't say mercy is packed. It's not like a solid thing. It is packed in a box. You don't pack mercy, right? And it says, okay, I'll pack a mercy and send you mercy. As a guru, please pack mercy and send to me. We don't say that. As a guru, please let the mercy flow. You understand? It's not a solid thing. It is liquid. Right? So mercy flows. When does something flow? When the recipient is on a lower gradient and the giver is on the higher gradient. But then there is a flow. If there is no gradient, if there is no potential difference, as we understand from physics, there is no flow. So the whole concept of fallenness is seen as a taboo in this world now. How can you think that you are fallen? How can you think that you are less? They will take you to a psychiatrist if you start talking about this too much. I said, there's something, you are mentally deranged. If I was discussing with one of our very close friends who is a very, very successful psychiatrist, who is becoming a devotee. And we are discussing the Shikshastakam. And he said that, I said, believe me, if I was not a devotee and if I read Shikshastakam, I would find that this whole movement is a movement of people who are mentally deranged. And they're talking about, you know, Trinadapi Sunichena, Taro Reva Saish. I said, what sort of craziness is this? They're making you feel something useless? I mean, they're completely shattering your self-esteem? He said, I would treat such people. Such people, when they come, I would treat them. He said, come on, you are great.
You have faith in your own self-esteem. What is this trinadapi sunichena, that you are more fallen and more you should be more tolerant? I said, give the person back if he hits you. That is... You say, but now that... So actually speaking, then I realize that how slowly but surely all our minds are so, in one sense, quote-unquote, brainwashed because they were dirty, that we don't find this very strange. Because, you know, it's just a normal thing when we live on. But actually speaking, this is a revolutionary philosophy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. 99% of the people in the world, they can't even fathom to even begin to understand what is this philosophy. It's very, very amazing. So the reason why this word mercy does not really, you know, come in our understanding. And please understand that when you're talking about the world, we're talking about 99% of the things outside the world. Right? So we who are minorities, we are bound to be affected by the majority around us. You know, how long can you be inoculated? It will affect us. It will sneak into us. Right? So we also, devotees also caught, understand the importance of mercy. Right? Devotees, in all our talks, we talk about mercy of the dham, mercy of the spiritual master, mercy of the Vaishnavas, mercy of the holy name. Everything is mercy for us, right? We are seeking mercy. We are desperately seeking mercy. So while I talk of mercy, I was just reminded about how devotees, they take this understanding of mercy to a completely different level. You know, I share something which I heard almost on the third or fourth day of my Krishna consciousness. I came to temple and there are two devotees talking. Maybe I've shared with few of people, you know, two devotees talking, and as one devotee said, Prabhu, please give me your mercy. And believe me, you know, I was from a college, you know, quite trained into being a forward-thinking person. So I found this discussion interesting. It was, as I said, just not even a week of my being a devotee. Or I was trying to be a devotee, of course. I was just not yet a committed devotee. So I came and I saw one devotee, Prabhu, please give me your mercy. So he says, no, Prabhu, I need your mercy. I'm sure this is something which we say so often, right? So the other devotee said, no, Prabhu, I'm very fallen. So of course this, you know, for all of us as being devotees for so long, this is all usual, right? I mean, this is all usual discussions. We hear it so often. But believe me, for me, when I was just, this was all new. So I was hearing with rapt attention. This was completely a language that I never heard. And I'm sure many of you also, when you first heard this language, as devotee have their own language, lingos. Now you must have heard, this is interesting language. So all this mercy, and then said, I'm Prabhuji, I'm fallen. So the other devotee said, Prabhu, I'm more fallen than you. So I found this, I'm not a bit exaggerating. This is absolutely verbatim I'm narrating. The other devotee said, Prabhu, I'm so fallen, I'm like the worm in the stool. I said, my God. You know, I said, you don't talk such things in public, right? I mean, of course, we have Krishna's Kavita Goswami speaking in Chaitanya Chitamrita, and I later on came to know that this is something which is written in the highest scripture. So I felt a little embarrassed. I said, what is this person saying? I said, I'm worming this too. Because then I started picturizing, you know. So, but the other person was not ready to give up. So other person said, and please, this was actually happened. And that convinced me that I must be a devotee. This state. The other person said, he wanted to retaliate, he had to give back. He said, Prabhu, I am like the worm in the stool of that worm. I said, my God, this is really this is going to a different level. You know, so of course I couldn't figure out what they spoke, and I still can't figure out what. But the point I'm trying to drive is that yes, devotees understand that they need mercy. They understand. But you know, so many times they need mercy, but they speak something much more than what they really mean many times. Let's be very honest. We speak so many things, but we may not really mean that. But we should really mean it. And when do we really mean? Coming back to a serious understanding. When will we really mean that we need mercy? Is if we are constantly, I won't use the word meditating, but we are constantly aware. As far as meditating is concerned, we should meditate upon Krishna. But we are constantly aware of our fallen condition. It is wrong to meditate upon fallen condition. Because meditating is not the right understanding. We should be aware that yes, I am fallen. And if you are aware that we are fallen, that you need the mercy, then there will be a gradient, as I said. Then there will be a flow of mercy. Otherwise, there cannot be a flow. So what is that one thing which really comes in between this understanding of being, being fallen? We all understand that. And actually, I was reading one of the purports of Prabhupada. I'm not able to remember which it's in the sixth canto. And he was explaining and really hit me. I said, we all are so fallen that Krishna should have nothing to do with us. And isn't it true? I mean, can we really expect any sort of attention from Krishna? But Prabhupada writes in the end, but Krishna is Karuna Sindhu. What a beautiful, it was like a balm to my heart when I read that, even though we knew it. But Krishna is like Karuna Sindhu. He will never abandon his devotees. Because Krishna is the ocean of mercy. And of course, Radharani is much more merciful than Krishna. Karuna Prema Daya Mai Radhe is explained. And we know the story of the Jackal. How merciful she is. Daya Mai. She is the mother of Daya, of Kripa. Karuna Mai. So Krishna, Srimati Radharani, they're ocean of mercy. Actually, they should have nothing to do with us. We are like people who have done such abominable things in our lives. Like if somebody does something abominable, I still know of people, parents who think that their children have done something abominable for decades. They don't even talk to the child. I said, get out. And it's not the child has done something horribly wrong. But they can't just take it. There's nothing to do with the child. And that's mundane father and mundane parents. And the child has not done something horribly. But what we have revolted on Krishna. We have many times not even challenged his existence actually. So Prabhupada has explained that Krishna has nothing to do with you. Let's think about this. Actually, Krishna has nothing to do with us. But Krishna is still so kind to us. He's giving us all the mercy. He's giving us all the facilities to be his devotee. He's allowing us to hear Bhagavatam. He's allowing us to have his darshan. And that is a beautiful darshan. Just so that we can get attracted to his heart. So we have to be constantly aware of our patit condition. Braj Bihari Prabhu, my dear friend, is made a very beautiful statement many years back. It is still very, very, very deep in my understanding. It's that Krishna or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is patit pavan, but he is not kapata pavan. If you are patit, you will get the mercy, but if you are duplicious, kapti, you will not get the mercy. Very interesting statement. Of course, it doesn't mean that you remain patit. But even if you are patit, you are fallen, and you recognize that you are fallen, Krishna is patit pavan. His mercy will come because that's what the meaning is. He delivers fallen people. So you will get the mercy. But Krishna hates duplicious people, kapti. Those who are duplicious, kapata. Kapat means duplicity. And if you see the reason why we don't attract mercy, What is that thing that comes? Many things, but one thing that really comes in between is duplicity. To show something what we are not. To show to the world and to show the people, well, this is the way I am. And you are not, you are fallen. You are in difficulty. You are struggling. But you want to have a particular image about yourself after spending few years. This happens much more, actually. Because you want to create an image of yourself that this is what the world should see me as I am. I mean, what should see me as I am not actually. Because I am not. So as I always see that this is the level you want to reach, this is the level you are. One way to work is work very hard to reach this level. But other way is to, as we say, to fake it. To show the world that I am here, when actually you are here. And the problem is, when you fake it too much, you start believing you are here when actually you are here. And that's the worst thing. And when you start believing you are so-called advanced when you are not, there's no gradient, there's no potential, there's no flow of mercy. And that's where the second part of the purport, I'll take another 5 minutes, the second part of the purport comes where it is explained. Krishna Sambandha, to see everything in connection to Krishna. Krishna is saying, Uddhav, to give up all your attachments. And the purport is explained, it is not easy to give up attachments. Right? Is it easy? I mean, we all are struggling. And whether we have no hair or we have a lot of hair, whether we have white or brown or orange color clothes, we knowing that we are struggling, it's not easy to give up attachment. And that is why we say that the most powerful understanding that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us is the understanding of Yukta Vairagya. We say, oh, this is a powerful thing. Don't give up anything which can be used in Krishna's service. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya Uchate. Is that? That Yukta Vairagya principle is things which can be used in Krishna's service, Krishna Sambandha, should not be given up. But let's think of these two understanding. One is the Yukta Vairagya principle, another is the principle where Prabhupada has given, simple living, high thinking. It is actually a double-edged sword, this Yukta Vairagya principle. Krishna Sambandha, everything that can be used in Krishna's service should be used. But not in our service. Krishna Sambandha. And that's where the kaptiness or the duplicity comes into picture. Where, unfortunately, the mind starts really convincing us that how you're using this for Krishna's service. So, one of the devotees was saying that one of the biggest problems in today's day and age is this today's day and age, they induce everyone to brag about themselves. Again, coming back to social media. What is social media? It's all about bragging about yourself. I'm sorry, those we can use it in Krishna's service. No offenses, please. Yeah? But majority of times, it could be used. Not that it should be used. But it could be used to brag, keeping yourself in the center. That this is what I did, this is what I did. I mean, you know, that's exactly what social media and that's the whole world is gearing towards that. To just keep on talking about yourself. And that's the principle which is the most dangerous principle in Krishna consciousness. That you are not the center. Krishna is the center of all the activities. Krishna should be... And Krishna is saying, fix up your mind on me, Krishna is saying in the purport. And you know, till the time you don't fix up your mind on Krishna, what is explained in the end? What is it? Brahmabhuta prasannatmat na sochati na kanshati. The aspect of prasannatma will never happen. But till the time you are bragging about yourself, you will never be satisfied. Because they never end to how much you... Because you have not felt the satisfaction, because your soul is not satisfied. The only way you can be satisfied, prasannatma, is when Krishna is the center. So again, this aspect of duplicity comes. And we have to be very, very careful. Whether I am using whatever I am using, whether it is social media or it is whatever facilities or whatever we have, whether it is using it for Krishna or it is also some bargaining going on that, well, I also get benefited. Because what really is inspiring is if the Goswamis, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's direct disciples, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the principle Yukta Vairagya, they followed it so perfectly. As far as they were concerned, text va turna masesha mandalapati shenim sada tuchavat. That they gave up everything as insignificant. Text va turna masesha mandalapati. Turna masesha. It's just useless. And who were they? They were mandalapatis. They were big, big landowners. All of them, all six of them. But But for Krishna, they made very, very, very opulent temples. Kopina Kanthasrito. They were wearing kopins. So I think that's very, very interesting. And that's what the Bhagavatam is constantly teaching us. That the principle of Krishna Sambandha has been stressed the purport again and again. 3-4 times. We have to be constantly be aware whether this is being used in Krishna Sambandha or it is my Sambandha. It is for me. And Krishna said, till the time you are not doing it for Krishna, then you'll be attached, and attachment will cause bondage, and bondage will not allow us to get the mercy of the Lord, that is which is required to really do whatever we are doing. And today is the day we seek the intense mercy of our most prominent Acharya, Madhvacharya. Today is his disciplines day. It is the day to seek mercy, the direct disciple of Vedavyas. It is on this day, in this month of Magh, he was sitting on this, on his favorite seat in Udupi, in the Anant Padmanabh temple, Ananteshwar temple, I'm sorry. Ananteshwar temple, he was sitting on his seat and he was speaking on his most favorite Aitreya Upanishad. And he told his disciples that very soon I'm going to leave. And he was speaking on his most favorite Upanishad, and right in front of everybody, that very place is still there. I'm sure many of you have visited, that same spot is there. He's speaking on Aitreya Upanishad, and suddenly his garland fell down, his shawl fell down, and his material body was also not to be seen. He just disappeared. And he said that once I disappear, I'm going to permanently stay in Badrika Ashram with my Gurudev Vedavyas and study under his under him. So even to this day, we know Madhvacharya is still at Badrika Ashram studying as a student of Vedavyas. But on this very auspicious day, he gave up his beautiful, I mean, of course, there's no time at all, but I'm sure today, during the day, we should be reading about his beautiful pastimes of Madhvacharya. One of his greatest gifts to the world is that he gifted the Udupi Krishna, a deity. And it was revealed to him, it was the original deity of Devaki. Mother Devaki worshipped Krishna's mother, and now he's worshipping, and we still see the wonderful Saivites, wonderful 8 mathas worshipping the same Udupi Krishna with same enthusiasm and same strictness. So it is a day to seek mercy of Madhvacharya, who is actually one of the, we say, we belong to the Brahma Madhva Sampradaya. So it's such a prominent personality in our Sampradaya, Madhvacharya. So we cannot really thank enough him, and Prabhupada quotes very often from many of his literatures, the Madhva Vijaya, and many books that Prabhupada quotes Madhvacharya's purports. So I think it's the time to seek mercy of Madhvacharya, and thank you very, very much, and sorry for going little over time. Granth Raj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Sripad Madhvacharya ki, Hare Krishna.